Hey guys, welcome back to the Parenting View podcast. My name is Maria and I run the Facebook page and website called Happy Mum, Happy Child. And let's just jump straight in. Today's podcast is going to be about me, as per freaking usual, I'm sure you're thinking. I had a really tough time last week. I had a relapse with my depression and I just want to have a quick chat about it. It's probably not going to be quick because I like to sort of ramble on a bit, so please bear with me. Now, I've since seen a counsellor, so I have a lot of insight into why it happened, but I'm just going to go through what happened. So prior to my relapse, I was having a lot of trouble sleeping. I don't have problems getting to sleep. I have problems when I wake up in the middle of the night. I struggle to get back to sleep. My mind races at a million miles an hour. I end up having to listen to music to try and focus it. Some of you might know this and some of you won't, but I actually listen to music as I'm going to sleep. Some people listen to meditation, some people listen to white noise, but I, since I was a teenager, have always listened to music. It just helps me to focus my mind on something, otherwise my brain tends to get away from me. Anyway, in the middle of the night, I wake up and my music is off because Phil goes to bed after me and he often turns it off and my mind races, and so I have to switch back on and then I find it hard to get back to sleep. So prior to my relapse, I had been lacking sleep. I also had spent an entire week at home with my daughter who was sick. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I've got no problem with that. But I had been worried for her because she's an asthmatic. And I didn't know if she was having an asthma relapse or if she had croup or anybody out there with kids who whose child gets sick. You just worry about them. And I'm always worried, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? What if we end up in hospital? Because we've ended up in hospital before. And so I had a lot of stuff playing on my mind. And that was the week before my husband worked on our bathroom. So my daughter spent the week home. Come Friday, my husband said, right, I need to work on the bathroom. Do you think you could go to your mum and dad's house for the weekend? Because I'm going to have to take the toilet out, which means the kids can't go to the toilet. I was like, that's fine. My mum and dad had been away so that there was no one else in the house. So we piled into the car. It was an adventure. Let's head away for the weekend. Just the kids and I to my mum's house. It's only about half an hour away. It's not a huge distance. But because I'd been lacking in sleep and I'd been worrying all week, there were other things that were happening as well behind the scenes. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but just understand it's more than just that surface stuff, you know. And so ended up at my mum and dad's house on Friday night and on Saturday night, and I just slowly deteriorated through having the kids with me 24/7. And that might seem like a cop-out, like, why did you have kids, Maria, if you can't handle them? You know what, parenting's hard. Fuck it, I'm just gonna say it. I find parenting really hard. I'd love it to be a breeze. I'd love to have the most patience in the world and be the most understanding parent. I do my best, but sometimes my children just push me too far, and they don't do it on purpose. They're just being kids, but sometimes it's too much. And when I'm in a vulnerable state like I was, it just absolutely tips me over, and it just became too much for me. And then I missed my husband on the Saturday, and by the Sunday I was just absolutely pushed to my limits. And on Monday after, now I just, this is a bit of a trigger warning, I didn't do this when I talked about it on Snapchat, I should say this is a trigger warning for anybody out there who has issues with anything that I'm talking about. Please make sure you're in a safe space. I don't want to upset anybody, certainly not by just telling my story, and I certainly don't want to take you guys back to any places that you don't want to be mentally. But on Monday, after I dropped my kids off at school in kindergarten, I hit rock bottom, and I started to make some plans, some serious plans. And obviously I did not follow through with them. And as soon as the plans were in my head, I knew I knew that something wasn't right. So I came home and I tried to do whatever I did. I honestly don't even really remember the day. It was a bit of a blur. My husband came home that night after a pretty stressful afternoon with me and the kids. No, the kids were fine. Again, my children are wonderful. They're just children, but I was just in this vulnerable state, which just doesn't help. And I'd had these thoughts in my head all day. And those are not the first time those thoughts have been in my head about making plans and doing things to myself. And but this time I had actually thought about it a lot more. Like I'd actually made a plan. The plan was seriously set in place. And I went to get changed in my bedroom after dinner, and I started talking to myself in the mirror, having a conversation with myself, and I just lost the plot completely. I started crying. I was unable to stop crying. Like, my family had no idea this was happening because they thought I'd just gone to get changed. And I sat down on the floor and I just could not stop crying. I was thinking horrible things about myself, that no one cares about me, that no one sees me, that I'm invisible, that ultimately I am a nobody and I'm not worthy of anything. I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm horrible. Just the worst thoughts that you can possibly say to yourself, I was thinking in my head. And I just could not stop crying and I didn't know how to get out of it. And eventually, after about 10 minutes, I picked myself up off the floor and I came out, and Phil said, "Are you okay?" And I burst into tears and I said, "No, I'm not okay." And so he could see that something wasn't right, and he got the kids and he put them to bed, and then he came back out and I just couldn't stop crying. I sat on, I like fell down onto the floor and I just couldn't stop crying. It was like all my emotions had come to a point. And because I'm quite self-aware for the most part, although my friends will say, "Marie, you don't really have any idea what's going on." I feel like I'm a lot more self-aware than some people are out there, but I'm aware that what I was thinking and what I was doing and the emotions I was feeling, I knew it wasn't right, but I couldn't get out of it. I was stuck in it. So I just had to like get it out, let it out. I was just devastated to be feeling like this. You know, it was like I'm myself, but I'm not myself. It was just the weirdest feeling. And if, like, even a week afterwards, I felt very jaded from the whole experience. Like it was an out-of-body experience. Like it wasn't me that was thinking those thoughts. It wasn't me that was experiencing those emotions. But I was in the shell. I was in my body. Oh, I can't even explain it. But I was on the floor crying my eyes out. My husband, poor guy, didn't really know what to do. He just, you know, stood there. And eventually, well, he didn't stand there. He was talking to me and he was trying to get me to stand up and come and sit down on the chair. And I just said, "Look, I need to make a doctor's appointment." I said, "I'm on top of my meds," because sometimes this happens if I don't take my medication every night. But what happened was not a result of me not taking my medication. And I said to Phil, my husband, I said, "I need to go back to the doctor and I need to talk to him." So the next morning I rang my, because my doctor's always booked out. I don't know about you guys, but friggin' heck, GPs are so busy all the time. I can't make a booking on the day. I have to make a booking 2 days in advance. But I rang up my doctor's nurse and I said, "I need to see him today." And she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I'm having some really bad thoughts about myself." She asked me to explain. And when I told her, she was like, "Oh, yes, I can fit you in at 10 o'clock. So once I dropped the kids off at school, I took myself. And it was very hard to do this because I didn't want to be out in public. I don't talk about this a lot, but people do recognize me and people do message me later and say, "I saw you, blah, blah, blah." And I didn't want to be out. I didn't want to be seen. I wanted to curl up in a ball and just go away and hide forever. I didn't want to smile. When I dropped off the kids, I had to pretend that I was happy. When I went to the receptionist at the doctor's office, I had to be like, "Hey, I know I don't have to." Some kind people on Snapchat messaged me saying, "You know, well, I'm a doctor's receptionist and we don't expect you to smile, but I think that's just my people-pleasing self, you know." So I begrudgingly took myself out to the doctor because I knew I had to go, and I just was not in a good headspace at all. I really didn't want to go out, but I knew I had to for myself. And the moment I stepped into his office, I just could not stop crying. I was just I couldn't look at him. I was embarrassed about the way I was feeling. I didn't tell anybody. I only talked to Phil. I didn't talk to my friends. I didn't know what to say. We've had a conversation about this now. My friends and I are really close. We've talked about it now, but I was embarrassed, very embarrassed. I was not embarrassed for Phil, because I can't hold my emotions in front of my best friend like that, but I was embarrassed to talk about it to anybody, even the doctor. I couldn't look at him in the eyes. He instantly said, right, let's get you booked in for a counselling session, and let's get you some blood tests done, because I've got a terrible memory and it's really been worrying me that it's so bad. So I booked in for a blood test, and he said, like, I'll be honest with you guys about what he asked me. He said, you know, are you looking after yourself, you know, physically? Are you exercising? I said, no. He said, are you overeating, over drinking? I said, yep, yep. And he said, are you, you're not drinking that way? And I was like, yeah, I am. Yeah, I probably drink too much. And he's like, how much is too much? I said, I probably have a couple of glasses of wine a night. And for me, that's for me personally, that's too much. Now, everybody else has their limits, but I know when I'm potentially using something as a crutch, and I'd never want to get, you know, hooked on alcohol or hooked on drugs or anything like that. And I'm very aware of it, but I definitely know, like, when I'm overeating, when I'm over drinking, you know. And my doctor has told me in the past that often when people are really struggling, they turn to other vices to help them get through, whether it's drugs, whether it's eating or drinking, like I said. And I totally believe that I'm eating and drinking myself through my depression, and that's not good. So I've since just sort of pulled back on my drinking. I'm trying to eat a bit better, although I need to get my gluten intake under control, because that definitely affects my moods. But anyway, my doctor is truly, truly amazing, and I know he doesn't listen to my stuff. He doesn't really even know what I do, but I just really appreciate that. I feel like I'm going to cry. I really appreciate that someone, you know, listens to me, because I was in my car on my way, sorry about the emotion, I was in my car on the way to the doctor, convinced that he was just going to tell me I was imagining it. Like, I had a conversation in my head with myself about the fact that he was going to say, you know, you're fine, there's nothing wrong with you. And I was like, what am I going to do if he says there's nothing wrong with me? Like, what if he doesn't believe me? Like, that's just my brain, the irrational part of my brain. Anyway, he was amazing. He listened to me. He helped me. I went and had a blood test straight away afterwards. And then I came home. He gave me some sleeping tablets, bless him. Another really good close friend of mine, who we see each other at school a lot, she gave me some advice on how to take the meds, because they're quite powerful sleeping tablets. And I listened to her, but then I also researched it, because my doctor said take the sleeping tablet when you wake up in the middle of the night, but like the actual medical information said don't do that because you won't wake up in the morning. So I didn't do that. The only thing is that if I took a whole tablet, I think it's called Zopiclone or something like that, if I took a whole tablet, it made me really drowsy the next day, so I ended up taking half a tablet, and it's helping me get back to sleep, but I'm still waking up in the middle of the night. I mean, the whole reason he gave me the sleeping tablets was to try and break the cycle of waking up, but I just can't stop waking. I don't think I've slept through the night in at least a year. Like, it's just serious. My brain just wakes me up, and I don't even know what I can do. I feel like this is just me for the rest of my life. Anyway, I have since seen a counsellor, and I feel a lot better. I have a lot of, obviously, I need to go to more than just one counselling session, but this counselling session was basically just to identify what the trigger was for that particular relapse. And my doctor said it was definitely a relapse, and he said that, you know, relapses can be really hard, and it can make you doubt, like, if you're actually getting better. So I feel good that, you know, wasn't nothing. I know that sounds terrible, but at least it wasn't just me imagining stuff. But the counsellor really identified that I have this deep-seated fear that people aren't going to love me and care for me, and that I'm going to do something to fuck it up. Excuse my language. But, like, I've just, my past experience, even though I haven't stuffed things up, I've just been a people pleaser, and I don't want to upset people, and I don't want to hurt their feelings, and I would never want to alienate anybody, and I can be very critical of myself, and instead of enjoying relationships or enjoying friendships, my irrational part of my brain can hold me back, because I'm being so critical and being like, if I said something, like, what if I said something wrong? And, well, I can't say how I feel because I might upset the person. And so I end up not enjoying my life because I'm, like, overanalyzing things. I don't even know if that makes sense, but I have a lot to do. I have a lot of counseling sessions. I have a lot of counseling sessions to go, and it's more than just that one moment. But essentially, it was a build up. It was a build up of me worrying about the people in my lives, like I was gonna stuff it up somehow. And I know that probably doesn't make much sense to you guys, but I haven't had a lot. Like, my husband is one of my rocks, and I still think, what if I fuck things up with my husband? Which is the stupidest thing in the world. Like, I can look back on it now and think, well, that was a dumb thought. Do you know what I mean? And just like the stuff I think about, like with my friends, like, what if I stuff my friendship up with my two really close friends? Because, you know, I haven't really had any close friends like this since like high school. You know, where you really chat to each other every day and you can really share everything about yourself with them. And I have a lot to work through. My friends are absolutely amazing, and if you guys are listening to this, which I know you are because you're loyal, right? You listen to everything I fucking do, don't you, right? You better fucking be listening to this, guys. Thank you for, I mean, I've already said this to you, so, but you know, thank you. Not for putting up with me, but for understanding that sometimes the wires in my brain get a bit crossed, and I get a bit over-analytical about things. And I appreciate friends that can take a step back and say, hey, she's maybe not doing so well at the moment, let's not push it, or maybe we should say something to her, which they do, and I take it on board. Sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't, and that's when Phil's like, oi, Elise has said something, you know. So it hasn't been easy, and I was off social media for a couple of days, and I know that I needed to come on and also say this. I know that a couple of days off social media doesn't seem like much, but it was a lot for me. And some people also said, you know, I'm surprised that you can talk about it so soon after, you know, it happened. And I'm a talker. It's what I do. I talk through my emotions. I talk through my situations. I have to get it out. And I also just sort of, I love sharing. I don't share everything. Like, you don't know my deep, dark secrets. Do you know what I mean? But this is a part of my life that I want to share, because I know that by sharing a little part, it might help somebody else. It certainly helps me to talk about it, that's for sure. I mean, let's be honest, I don't do this 1,000% for you guys. I do this because it makes me feel less alone. When I talk about stuff and I get responses from you guys, it makes me go, oh, you know, I feel so much better knowing that, even though it sucks somebody else is going through it, that someone else is out there that relates to me and that understands. Because even though you know other people go through it, it can feel so lonely. I remember sitting on the floor just going, I am so alone. I feel so alone. I felt like no one understood me. Nobody got what I was going through. I felt like I couldn't explain it, but that was because I was stuck in the situation. And when I was talking to my counselor, I said, you know, sometimes my friends can see things that I can't see. And she said, that's your depression. That's because your brain cannot comprehend, like can't see outside of it. And it's good. And she was like, that's good that your friends can see outside of it, that can see that. So I'm still not 100%. I still feel a bit jaded from it. I still get the thoughts that don't pop into my head, but the same, like I just get a little bit of a memory of it. And I think, oh yeah, that's right. Oh, that happened. But again, like when I look back on it, I think, wow, that was such a weird experience. Like it's, like I said before, I'm me, but I'm not me. It's like my brain has another aspect to it that kicks in. Like I was talking to myself in my bedroom before I really had a meltdown. It was like I was two different people. And when I look back on it, I think, geez, was I talking to somebody else or was that just me in my brain? Like it really gets quite confusing. So yeah, been very interesting couple of weeks, and I feel like my relationship with my husband is stronger. I feel like my relationship with my friends is stronger, and I feel like my relationship with my doctor is stronger because he listened to me. And you know, I just feel so bad out there for women and men and anybody who goes to a doctor and they don't take you seriously. I mean, that really pisses me off. And I just feel very lucky, very blessed that my doctor takes me seriously. So, and you know, I just also thank you to you guys out there. I've had some just absolutely marvelous support from all of you, messaging me, sending me little hearts, sending me messages, just telling me that you're there thinking about me. Like, You will never understand how much that means to me. I can't even properly explain it. It can be overwhelming at times knowing that so many of you care so much, especially when I know that you've got your own struggles as well. Some of you were telling me some of the things you're going through that, we were both going through something at the same time, and I just think, wow, you're so. People say that I'm strong, but we're all strong in one way or another. I don't feel strong. I don't. I just can talk. That's all. And sometimes I think just because I can talk about my problems doesn't mean I'm strong. It just means I've got a big mouth on me, Because ultimately I don't feel strong at all. I know I hide things and, So I'm trying to get my life back on track. It's not on track yet. I've got to get my eating sorted. I've got my drinking sorted. I know that sounds weird, but I don't have a problem with alcohol and I don't want to have one. But I can see that if I continued the way that I was going, it was going to be an issue. And I don't know if I'll chat about that anywhere else other than my podcast, just because I don't get feedback from it. And I think that's a good thing, because sometimes the internet can be a cruel place when it comes to feedback, especially when you are struggling and you're being open and honest and opening a part of yourself out, like just opening yourself up, and people can be quite critical. So don't worry. I love my wine. I love my Canadian club. Still gonna have enjoy my wine, but until I get my head back on track, get my sleep sorted, get my food straight, get my body under, everything kind of needs realignment at the moment. Just need to take a step back from it and like just gotta watch out what I'm eating. So thank you guys so much for listening to this. And I just, if you're ever struggling, please, please, please don't hesitate to reach out to your doctor. So your GP, you can reach out to Healthline. It's 0800 611 116. You can also ring Plunket Line. I'm sorry, I don't know that number off the top of my head. Reach out to your midwife. Reach out to your GP's nurse. Reach out to a friend. Please don't be embarrassed, okay? This is not something that you can control like that with a click of a finger. All it takes is for you to reach out to somebody and start talking about it, okay? Trust me. Now, I know that's hard. That first step is bloody hard. And those of you who have taken it, I'm proud of you. And those who are struggling, I'm still proud of you, because you know that something's not right and you're not alone, okay? No one is alone. We all go through different things, but we all go through them together, and we can all hold hands together. Well, let's hold hands. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Anyway, thank you for listening. I am doing a lot better now, and I hope that you guys are okay, and make sure you take care of yourselves mentally, physically. And please don't hesitate to reach out for help to anybody. Please keep talking about it. Okay? It's not abnormal. You're not abnormal. Okay? It's just something in your brain has gone funny. And just want you to know you're loved and you're not alone. Okay? Hope you have a great day or night or whatever when you're listening to this. Thank you for listening and for tuning in. It means the absolute world to me, especially considering this is like 23 minutes long. You rock. Goodbye.